Okay, we're going to start this. Morning, everybody, or good afternoon, wherever you are. This is our September 20th version of the VC Edu Call W3C. I've started the recording, and I'm going to go over the agenda briefly, and then we'll get going. So first thing we're going to do is talk about the IP note. We'll talk about how you take notes and how the queue works in this call. We'll do scribe selection and then some introductions and reintroductions, announcements and reminders if anybody has any, and then we'll move on to our main discussion, which is about the charter and the scope of this group. Okay, so IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. You have to ensure that you have a W3C account, and this is a link to the agreement. I'm going to put that in the chat for you. Okay, next, call notes. So all of these meetings are recorded, and the minutes and the audio recording of everything that is said in this call is archived at W3C meetings links. We give you that link. Or you can always get them. They're also distributed through the mailing list, the CCG mailing list. So if you're not part of that list, that is where we are doing most of our, we don't really have many heavy discussions for VC Edu on that list, but it is a useful list to be on. So I would join it. I would suggest joining it anyway. We use chat and IRC to cue speakers during our calls and as well to take minutes. So if you would like to participate in the chat, please use Q plus like this. To add yourself to the queue, you can do Q minus like this to remove yourself from the queue. Okay, next what we need is a scribe. So a scribe takes notes during the call and puts them in the chat, and that's what folks can see for a transcription of the meeting. The scribe doesn't need to be word for word, just sort of notes as the discussion goes on. Is anyone on the call willing to volunteer to be a scribe? No, we do have a list. So, awesome, Jim. Thank you. Put that in. Okay, Jim is our scribe. Okay, and then announcements and reminders. I don't have any specific announcements or reminders. Tomorrow, the regular CCG weekly call will take place. They're back, I believe. And so that is a link to where you can look for any announcements for the main CCG. Oh, I skipped introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new to the call who would like to introduce themselves? Oh, wait, we have an announcement. Bill, please, go ahead.
Yeah, this is just to note that on the 27th, which I believe is next Monday, there is a meeting of the LEO, the Learning and Employment Record Network, and that meeting is at 3:30 p.m. And I'll put as soon as I have the link for it, I'll put it up in chat.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Is there anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves and tell us what you're working on?
Hi, Carrie. This is John.
Hi, John.
From Pocket. I work as a product manager on the Pocket initiative at ASU. Normally, I have meetings at this time that got moved, so I thought I would pop in and see what's going on here, because I'd love to attend these regularly, but I have meeting conflicts normally at this time.
And thank you for joining us. It's great to meet you on this call. I have you on this call anyway.
Yeah.
Would anybody else like to introduce themselves? Okay. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to ask Heather Vescent to reintroduce herself. She's a chair of the CCG, one of the co-chairs, and she's joining us today because we're going to be talking about scopes and charters, and I thought it would be helpful to have her expertise on this call. Heather, do you mind doing a reintroduction and saying hello to folks?
No, I'd be happy to. So I'm Heather Bessent. I am the co-chair for the Maine Credentials Community Group, and I've been in that role for a little over a year. And in that role, I basically act as an operations person, making sure that we follow the processes and protocols outlined by the W3C. As a working group, we have more leeway than, or as a community group, we have more leeway than the working groups. So that is a double-edged sword in that we are able to, choose what flexibly works for our community, but then that requires that we choose and agree on what works for us as a community. So, the Credentials Community Group is one of the largest community groups in the W3C. It's very active, and the VC Edu is a task force, and we have four different task forces at this point. So I have not been able to – I've always loved the work you guys have been doing in this task force and wanted to be able to support it more. But as I'm a volunteer and there is a lot happening in the CCG, I've just had limited time. I guess in my non-CCG role, I have my own strategic consultancy company. I'm a writer and a researcher. I specialize in digital identity, cybersecurity. I did a book on spies and espionage. I make films. I understand the future. I kind of do a lot of different things that focuses on making technology understandable to non-technologists, as well as anticipate to potentially mitigate unintended consequences. Oh, I think also probably of interest to this community might be is I spearheaded the CCG 101 activities, and we built a really fantastic team where, everyone is kind of like co-leadership as the work item in order to make some of the processes and work items more accessible and understandable to outsiders from the community. Because there's a lot of kind of very particular processes and protocols that we follow here that aren't particularly obvious to those who've not participated in the W3C or standards. And so I'm here today to just help, you guys to answer any questions you might have about process, to kind of help you guys figure out how your work items might fit into some of the, different categories that we have, and otherwise support the work you guys want to do.
Thank you, Heather. Appreciate it. And I'm personally very glad Heather is here today, because this leads right into our agenda for this meeting. Although I've been working on items at W3C for some time, it is just through recent work through the CCG 101 and other work in this group that I kind of realize that I don't understand how all of our processes work, which isn't great when you're co-chairing a group and you want us to help us succeed. So I have been evaluating all the processes and how work items happen, how all of that flow. And also I've been sort of thinking about all of the developments that have been resulting from this task force and the work of the community in the past year. So I thought it would be a good idea to sort of revisit the charter and the scope and sort of discuss together the overall objectives and the work plans so we can, start making some progress here. Overall, in a broader ecosystem, we have wallets happening and we have standards making adjustments. And so it seems like a good time for us to review that. So if you bear with me for a minute, I'm going to share some slides, and I'm going to give you the link to the slides so you can all follow along and click on links that I've put in there. And also, if you've seen my slides before, you'll know that they're really super basic. Let me bear with me here. Let me share my slides. And before I get started, does anybody have any questions, or would you like to jump in on anything? Okay. Let me figure out how to share my screen. I do that in here. Share your screen. Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yes, we see your screen.
Thank you. So So I'm going to present these slides, but also feel free to cue yourselves up to interrupt me. I have Jitsi open so I can see what's going on in the chat. I may not be reading what's in the chat, but I'll keep an eye on the queue. I don't mind being interrupted, and also talking by yourself is a lot. So let me just get started here. Philip wants to know if everybody has access to the slides. Can folks see the slides? Or can you click on them and see if you can access them?
I asked because I got prompted by an Oak to log in.
Yeah, also getting that prompt.
All right, let me fix that. If it was my preference, it would always be open first. So I don't have to do this every time. All right. Anyone with the link should now be able to comment on this. I'll try it out right now and let me know. Share my screen.
That worked. I'm in now.
Yep.
Thank you. Good. Okay. So here's the plan for the next few minutes or so. One is to just go over a brief history of what's happened with BC Edu from, you know, so far up till now. The work items process at the CCG, our community report drafts that we have going, which are two work items, an overview. Well, we're going to talk about the BC Edu scope and charter, and then there's some items that we'll go over, including the participation, communication, and general work items. And we'll talk about some scopes, some formatting approaches, and then next steps. All suggestions and all up for discussion. The first link on this slide is a link to the charter, so that you should all have access to. I'm not going to pull it up here, but this is a reference for you. So this group started, I believe, 2 years ago by the DCC, and it was anchored in the work of this group, which was 12 universities who are looking to do research and you know, use verifiable credentials, create wallets, and do that work. It was sort of the foundational for all of the approach of education in workforce, and they continue to be this essential partner. And Kim Hamilton Duffy did an excellent work. She did a tremendous amount of excellent work and leadership, not only for this group, but for like the research, documentation, and expertise that's gotten us here. It's really because of her that we have this solid foundation. She spent a lot of work thinking about how can we align or how can we include all of these different VC standards, all of these education standards with verifiable credentials. How can those work together? And her and folks like Jim Goodell and others, many of us in this group worked on, I didn't work on it, but many people worked on this LER wrapper concept, right, which was a way to, it was like this envelope letter approach to put education standards inside the envelope of a verifiable credential. And this spring, we started talking more about the pros and cons of this approach and how we were having trouble making progress with that. And it led to us trying out doing single achievements, and then the work of the complex credentials group. And this all led to engagement of IMS Global to create new charters there for a native alignment for open badges to the VC model. And then that's where we are right now. And so what we want to do is think about what are we going to do from here? And we have that going on, and what are the next steps? But before we do, and this is also why Heather is here, sort of want to talk a little bit about how we have these work items at CCG and how these work. So BC Edu is a task force, right? And a task force is a category of a work item, and it meets on a regular basis to address a specific topic within the scope of the CCG. It's not intended in itself to be like a final report, and at any time we could end this group. But, and also from time to time, we report back to the CCG And they also attend these meetings too, right? We're not always all education folks in this call or workforce folks. So there's some cross-pollination that happens. Then we have reports. So I hear a little bit of noise. Would everyone mute, please? So a report is a category of a CCG work item. And this is, the target for this is a deliverable for this is a collaborative document. And then hopefully it could be completed and published by the CCG as a final report for the CCG. It doesn't suggest that it's a standard or it's on track to be a standard. It just means that, it is a report by the community and expertise of that community to make suggestions. I put some links down in here below so you can reference how work items work and then different report stages. And what you can see happens, there's a proposal, it gets adopted, and then it becomes a community draft. We are doing, I checked with Kim as to what we are working on, and we're working on a community report draft. Heather, I don't remember the difference between these two, but I believe a community report draft. Actually, I don't really know. Could you explain the difference between an ongoing community draft and a community report draft for us?
Yeah, just give me one second. I'm going to open up the work item process. I'll also drop this into the link because, sometimes there's nuances and sometimes I even get them mixed up. Okay, let me just open that up. Okay. So, you're talking about the difference between
the ongoing community draft and the community report draft.
Okay. So you got to think about like there's like two different ways of there's two kinds of work items and there's two kinds of deliverables. There's things that meet on a regular basis that don't have an end date. And that would be like a task force. And then there's also work items that they do have a deliverable, but those deliverables, might have something ongoing. Like, so I'm on slide 4. And so if you see over here on the ongoing registries and task forces, they're ongoing. And so this ongoing community draft is like, a deliverable that is never finished. Whereas going back to the community report is a deliverable that most likely has a final draft that is final at some point. It might have an early draft, a version 1, 2, or 3, it might come back and be revised or something, but it's like, it's actually like, hey, here's the version 1 of it, like say use cases or, a spec or something like that. So, the way the chairs that were in the CCG prior to me wanted to be very specific about whether the work item would have a final deliverable that you would then close the work item, or if it was something that would happen ongoing. And if it's happening ongoing, then whether it has a deliverable, like a community draft, or if it doesn't have a deliverable, like a task force is just about creating the meeting space to discuss something. Does that make sense? Did that become clearer? Does anyone have questions about the two differences between those? Okay, I'm gonna guess that we're good because I'm not hearing anything. If anyone had anything, they're muted. I'll pass it back to you, Carrie.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that was very helpful actually. Thanks. And maybe I will do a little bit of clarification for us here. And Heather, tell me if I'm getting this right. So I think when we started working on the modeling doc, it may have been perceived as like an ongoing doc that represented the whole work of PCNU. But what I would like to suggest today, and Kim agreed with me when I consulted with her last week, is that the modeling educational verifiable credentials can be a community report draft. And then I was thinking the use cases could be a community report draft, but perhaps this is the ongoing one. Perhaps like the result of this group is that we have this ongoing report that, you know, has our use cases, because those will always be additive and that will never be final. Does that make sense, Heather?
Yeah. And I put myself on the queue just to clarify. It's like, I mean, you guys can choose, or whoever is submitting the work item can like choose whether, you know, you want to have a final deliverable, and whether, and the chairs, you know, CCG chairs, we can help you figure out which one it makes more sense, or help you finesse it. Because again, this is the double-edged sword of a community group, is that we have processes to follow, but we're really flexible. And so it's almost like there's a lot of options to fit every possible thing we can come up with, but then that's possibly a little bit too many choices if you're not really familiar with the process. So, I guess I would just say, like, and this is one of the reasons why we do the reviewing of the work items. And if you're curious of how to do that, like our call tomorrow, we're going to be reviewing like 5 new proposed work items, which I don't think we've ever had a call that's had that many. So if you're just curious how this process works, then I highly recommend you join our call tomorrow at noon Eastern to just kind of be a fly on the wall and see how this process works. Because it really, we do have a process, but also so many of the things that we do in the CCG kind of need to be finessed or discussed, you know, the right way it fits in. And the other thing is, you know, our work item process is based on our past experiences of work items. There is a possibility that something new would come in and we would need to amend the CCG charter and make way for a new kind of work item too. So it is set in stone, but it's also not set in stone, right. which can be challenging.
Well, I think that flexibility is appreciated, because we are working in an ever-evolving space where we need that flexibility.
Yeah, but it can be challenging to understand the constraints and the buckets. So,
okay. Well, I probably will attend that call tomorrow so that we can learn more. I'm going to come back to these reports later. My understanding when I got these slides together for folks is that these are in between 2 different stages, between a rough draft and an unreleased draft. You've been set up nicely by Kim. They're in respec, but actually we haven't, we don't have any proposals. So there's been no adoption of of these 2 reports in the main CCG. So we have a little bit of like work to do to set that up. And we should do that work, I think, because it establishes these work items. And as we get into these in a minute, I will explain why I think this one is separate, because I do think we need to adjust our scope and the charter for this group. This would just be my suggestion. We can talk that over. All right. Let's see what the queue is. Okay, good. And that brings me to that topic specifically. So what did they do? Just go over these particular sections of the charter and some scopes. And I hope we could talk about this more, because I know this affects all of you and all of your work. And I want to make sure that we can actually get some things done soon and get this report out and, you know, get the recommendations in place so that we can inform other standards bodies who are reliant on us for these recommendations. Okay, so the first one I'm going to go over is very simple. It's not really, barely changes at all, which is how you participate. And we know this, all of us are here, right? So we participate pretty much weekly for about an hour. The only change I made here was that, or my suggestion change is that it's on Jitsi and not Zoom. Excuse me. So I don't think there'll be any questions here. The second one is also more procedural. So I just added audio recordings that just said recordings, and that instead of saying it provided similarly to the DID resolution task force, I just specifically said that it should be distributed to the CCG mailing list. I mean, primarily what I want to make sure is that if anybody new comes to our charter, they know, you know, how to find us and how to get the information, and also that we know how to reference if we forget. Okay, this one, I only changed the title. So this was also already in the charter, and I thought it was awesome. And Kim went over this a long time ago, and many of you have already seen this. But I think it's worth reviewing because this is important, and this is what this work is based on. It says that all decisions shall be taken by consensus, which means that if anybody objects, then we have to revisit this and talk about it and decide what to do. And that includes working on this charter. On the second bullet point, which I've never been very good at Latin, so I'm going to skip that part, but just explain the explanation here, is that in the context of a work item, once we've reached consensus, if someone comes and wants to reopen it because they weren't here, we should have consensus of the group to reopen it. Because otherwise, we would never really get anything done. Oops, sorry. And the third bullet I love the most is radical transparency and openness. And that's just how we operate in this group. We have the recordings, we have the transcripts, we talk about it publicly, we blog about it, everything is out in the open, and we want as much input and visibility as we can into this work. And then lastly, which we've been struggling with, and I think I'd like to take us back to this, is that everything we do must cover a use case. And we should be really just focusing on those use cases. We need more of them. We need better use cases. And I think we could do that because we have that expertise in this group, and we know what is going on in the world, and we have the knowledge to build out these use cases. Kim had put this in, and I believe this too. Use cases may not exist yet. We may like theoretically have these use cases and think like, oh, we could do this. And I think we think that is valid, right? We should be able to put those use cases in the document, even if no one is actually living those use cases yet, because we can learn from that and we can do a lot of great work from there. I mean, that's where the visionary work happens too. Okay, I'm going to pause for a moment and check the queue. Okay, no one has anything in the queue. Does anyone have anything they want to say, or any feedback or thoughts so far on these points? All right. Marty, go ahead.
Yeah, so just kind of paying attention to some of the other work groups, what is the definition of consensus as defined here?
I'm going to let Heather speak to that, because she has the official probably CCG answer to that.
Oh, that's a good one. Actually, we just had a meeting about this. I think it was the last meeting that we had discussing it, and Mike Prorock went over it. And in that meeting, I'm just going to try to look for, the agenda, because, Mike put a lot of really good links in it, and I would like to, I'll tell you what, Carrie, why don't you continue on, and mm-hmm. I will try to find these things and drop them in here, because there is a very specific process for consensus. And sure. I would need to prep a little bit to speak directly to it.
All right, while you do that, I'm actually going to call on Anthony, who put himself in the queue.
I'm just pasting one which some of you will know from ISO, which is one that's used for all the standards they do. And it's essentially general agreement characterized by absence of sustained opposition to substantial issues. And then it goes on and on. And that takes into the account of all parties. so basically, if one person is objecting, you still have consensus. If you have a vocal minority that has sustained opposition, then you do not have consensus.
Thanks, Anthony. Marnie, is that helpful for now while Heather looks up some?
Yeah, it's very helpful. Especially now that we're kind of resetting this work group and just some of the, again, some of the other observed work groups, I just really feel like we need a firm definition of that for everyone in this group such that we can, be productive continually.
That's good, Marnie. You know, and I will, once we get this from Heather, and I will make sure when I do the editing that we put it in the charter directly so we have it as a reference.
Thank you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Heather?
Great. Yeah, thanks for giving me time to find those links. So I'm going to just drop in here the CCG, the last call we had that discussed that. And specifically in the CCG charter, we do have this section on consensus, and you guys could just copy paste it, but basically it's a process for coming to agreements about the direction you're moving forward, and this is where also the double-edged sword of the community group comes into play. And if you've been following what's happening with some of the other task forces or work items in CCG, you may have heard there's some other flexibility. So being a community group, we have the W3C processes that we can follow. And in working groups, they very strictly have to follow those. In a community group, we can follow those. However, a co-chair of a task force or a chair or a set of co-chairs of a task force or co-owners of a work item can decide a different process in order to reach consensus that is different from the standard W3C process if that better serves the community that they are a part of, that they're building consensus in. Now, consensus can be agreeing on proposals and voting, and it can be, you can have formal objections, where someone does not agree, but that does not mean you don't go forward. You just register that formal objection. You can choose that everyone has to agree to move forward, or you could choose majority, or you could choose like 2/3 majority. It is, again, left up to the co-chairs or the co-owners. An example of consensus in play with the work items, when a new work item is proposed, at least 2 of the 3 CCG co-chairs have to support the creation of that work item. So as long as the new work item hits all the requirements, to have a new work item and 2 of the 3 co-chairs agree with it, then it can move forward. Now that could mean that the 3rd co-chair could disagree with it as a work item and not support it. But that work item, since it had the support of 2 co-chairs, could move forward. So it doesn't necessarily mean everyone, has to agree that it's the way moving forward. However, in a diverse community, you are going to have conflict and different views. And so, the consensus process and the positive work environment and professional code of ethics is a guide to having polite, professional disagreements in this type of environment. And so, I don't necessarily see conflict or disagreement as a bad thing, but it needs to be professionally managed. And this process is a way to be able to say, these are the things, I support these things for these reasons, or I object to this for this reason. And yet if the, you know, the criteria for moving forward with consensus is met, then it moves forward and you can register a formal objection. Does that make sense?
It does. Does anyone have any questions about this? I mean, I would suggest, and Anthony and I could talk about this more, but we can, you know, try this practice and see how it goes. We've primarily been using consensus all along. We just haven't really hit any points yet where it mattered really, because we hadn't really had to make any decisions like that. But we're about to do that, like this week or next when we talk about the charter. So we can try this out. Does that sound good to everyone?
Yep.
I guess I'd just say, does anybody object?
No objections. Thanks for the clarity.
Yes, thank you. Heather?
Yeah, and I guess the other thing I just want to say is, like, one of the ways we do this with work items is that, you know, like tomorrow we're going to discuss a bunch of work items, and then the work items are on a GitHub thread. And so during the meeting, people can raise their objections or raise comments. But then also there's a GitHub thread, and, you know, even if, you know, we do something that's like, okay, so it looks like this work item has support to move forward, we'll wait 7 days. People can have objections or additional questions that might need to be addressed within those 7 days to move forward. And so I think part of what's important is that, it's not like you have to email everyone and tell everyone and announce everything, but you do have to notify and let people know and give people an opportunity to, weigh in if they have an opinion.
Yes, that makes sense. Not everyone can make these calls, so we'd like to give some time for everyone to catch up.
Sure.
Thank you, Heather. It's been very helpful.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, I'm going to move on to, for now, to thoughts that I have about this task force mission and scope. If you look at the charter, you will see that, and I should have actually, I'm going to bring it up right here. Hold on. We started out with this LER path, right? Talking about how to fit in, different education standards into verifiable credentials. I would like to suggest that we broaden this a little bit, that we shift things around a little and we say, okay, as verifiable credentials education workforce group, that we want to support the data modeling concerns, the usage guidelines and best practices for any of the use of verifiable credentials in education workforce. So that's not so different, right? It's some broad like support that we have this community that says we can support this work. We don't actually have that many communities where we can all come together and really talk about verifiable credentials in education in this specific way. And so it makes sense to me to have this setting where we can do that to help do things like increase adoption and understanding of self-sovereign identity. And also the third bullet comes out of the charter already, which is promote the reuse of linked data, contexts, vocabularies. I'm not saying that overall we should ignore the needs of the broader education standards community. In fact, I'm saying we should open up these items. We should open up these, not items, but like concerns and questions and what do we do about this, right? But I'm going to just very briefly go back go down to slide 11 and then back to 10. What I am going to suggest though is that we take this one modeling report and make that one very specific. And then what we could do is open up new work items that others could lead about these other topics who are experts in this space. For instance, we could have done this as part of the complex credentials group. There was a group that met and they talked about complex credentials, did a bunch of things that made a bunch of, like, helped make decisions in other groups, but it wasn't really a work item. We probably should have pursued it in that way. So but we can do that now if we shift our charter just a little bit to say we have this wider mission. And then within this wider mission, we can do narrower work items so that we can get these work items done. I didn't spend too much time thinking about like, oh, what is our big broad mission and scope? So I would love to hear more about what else you think should be added to this. If you want, we could come back to this because I have some other slides that have some other content that may feed back to here. check the queue before I move on. Okay, before I move on to that, from that, do you want to talk about that? Does anybody have any thoughts about this? I mean, I think, while I'm waiting for that, what I think is that we had, we were kind of doing this, but we were also saying that our modeling doc was also supporting that. And I think we were trying to boil the ocean by having this modeling doc that is also trying to answer everything. Jim, you're in the queue.
I may have missed, because I'm trying to take notes and listen, but.
Yes, thank you.
What's the difference between what you're suggesting in the scope and what currently exists?
I think the difference is actually in the modeling doc more than the overall scope. That is one point. One is that, the modeling doc, when we get to this, would actually be focused on, that's the use cases doc, would be focused on the VC data model alignment, native alignment to the VC data model. Whereas before we were saying that the modeling doc was taking a closer look at the LER wrapper. So my suggestion would be that our scope of VC Edu be broader, that this modeling doc be more about the native alignment that's currently happening. And then for the native alignment's happening now. And there could be a separate work item for exploring, you know, how to do other types of standards in VCs. So I think that is the delta. Okay. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
What do you, Jim, because you worked so much on the LER wrapper and you've been a big part of this group, before you start taking notes, and I'm happy to take notes for you, what do you think about this approach? If you don't mind me putting you on the spot. Also, I don't have to put you on the spot.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. I was talking and didn't realize it. So the objective of the LER wrapper doc at the time was to be inclusive and to recognize what already exists for standards and what might exist in the future, and to give an approach to present an approach that would give some guidance to the marketplace, but without locking into one approach that would perhaps not see some potential future innovation that could be provided with a more flexible approach. So that was over a year ago now, and so I think it provided some direction at the time, but I know we've had conversations that we still have the goals of flexibility and supporting multiple data models and multiple standards, but there may be some ways we can innovate beyond that as well.
Okay, thank you.
I answered your question.
You did. I just wanted to make sure that what you said was true, and the LER wrapper provided so much guidance for us. So I think we're here because of that work. So thank you for all that you did on that, and also I don't think we should just totally set that aside either, because I think there there's still some value there. I just think that the modeling doc, I'm suggesting that the modeling doc they're working on now be very much narrower, and then we could open up another work item to do more expansive modeling suggestions at any point. If, like, for instance, if someone, can't see everybody who's on the call, but if someone is interested in, well, really we want PESC to be in verifiable credentials, well, then that would be a great work item for someone to take on and lead. Bill, are you in the queue, or did I just not take you out of the queue?
No, I'm in the queue.
Okay, please.
take your turn.
Sure. And I just wanted to be as clear as possible here because, as we know, there are many of us are participating in different venues around the general topic of verifiable credentials. And that includes, as you've referenced, HR Open, looking at credentials specifically in the employment, employer-employee relationship, typically focus more on the HR representation of that from an HR perspective. And related groups, in particular, the Learning and Employment Record, which is not a standards group. So one of the things that's, I think, an important distinction to call out is that W3C, IMS Global, IEEE, and others are of that sort are standards groups. And so there is a responsibility and obligation for the standards groups both to have a process that explores those things, but also that has a more formal process by which an actual standard that those organizations stand behind issues cumulative work, so to speak. And in this particular case, W3C is kind of the VC Edu group is kind of the sort of the, as you've described it correctly, I think Carrie and Heather has put in context, is presenting its results back to the CCG, and then it goes through a more formal process if whatever is reported back becomes an actual independent standard. Whereas work that might be going on in LERN or other venues like that can be exploring possible VCs for other domains that aren't yet on the radar, but they're not intended to or have the responsibility or structure to create a credential in the sense of a standard. And I just want to make sure, because there will be discussions, I know, in the LERN space around things like self-asserted credentials and their endorsement. And that's an exploration about how such work would be done, and it would then have to go to a standards group for further refinement. So I wanted to make that clear. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. And those two examples of HR Open and self-assertion, and you'll see this in the next slide, are good examples of work items that we could be sort of aligned. And even though there's work going on in outside groups, we could still have documentation in this group that says this is going on in that group and here's where the alignment is. So that when folks come here, they know where to go, or they know that there has been some alignment between these concepts and verifiable credentials. Anthony, you are in the queue. You have the floor.
You're on mute, Anthony.
Questions I have is that a lot of the stuff we're doing in this group is not actually specific to educational use cases. For example, the way we, just from the modeling thing, the way we would express an array of claims is something that is likely to be used by use cases outside of education. And to some extent, just educational credentials are so complicated, we come across some of these use cases first. So my question is there any way for our group to make recommendations to the CCG for, let's say, recommendations or adoptions to be taken into the overall VC set of standards rather than keeping them at the VC ed level?
Carrie, if you're talking, you're muted.
Oh, sorry. I talked a lot and I was muted. Sorry. Heather, hold on one moment because I think you can answer Anthony's question. But if you do, I just want to point out this Explore VC's verifiable presentations, because this is one that is a good example of what Anthony is talking about. This is an example of the CLR at IMS has this concept of an issuer who is issuing a VC that contains several other VCs. And typically that's called a verifiable presentation. and there's some work to be done there, and it's not exactly just education related. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah. Okay. So to answer your question, Anthony, yeah, you guys can totally bring this to the CCG. And what I would recommend is, that, you know, you or whoever and whoever else who, you know, has this idea, like the verifiable presentations, there's two ways. You could submit it as a potential work item. And we could review it as a work item, or you could, prior to doing that, get some time on a CCG main call calendar and talk about it, you know, and communicate to the rest of the community that, hey, in VC Edu, we're very interested in doing it for this specific use case, but we think it can be done for other things too. And we want to understand who's interested in it, who's doing other work on it, et cetera. And I know there is specifically a work item that has to do with verifiable presentations, so I will go try to find that and put it in the link.
Perfect. Thank you, Heather. Phil, you're in the queue.
Yeah, I missed part of what Anthony was saying because I was dealing with an incoming call, but it's timely insofar as that one of the work groups that the LARN is convening was specifically around presentation scenarios. And the reason is in part because this is coming up in a lot of different venues, and the thought was it was useful and valuable to have a deeper exploration of that taking place, because it is a topic of great interest and relevant to a bunch of different communities, as has already been said. So, Anthony, I'd be happy to talk with you offline or separately about this and others if there is interest. It is going to be a topic at the LARN discussion next week, as already mentioned, on Monday. And the reason why it has come up is precisely because of what we're discussing here. And so, it seems like this conversation in an exploratory and broad sense needs to take place and then move to a more formalized description going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Okay. We just discussed this one. So this is an example of where we don't have this in our use cases, although we talk about it quite a bit recently. So these are things that we should add to, examples we should add to the use cases report that we are working on. These bullets here below were in the general scope of VC Edu and on the charter. And my suggestion is that we take each one, we write use cases and put them in the use case documents, and then figure out how we're going to tackle each of them, if we're going to tackle them at all. But at least we'll have the use cases, and if they are very important to anyone in this group, we will have a use case to rely on for that that issue or work item. You here. Okay. And then the second report is one I was referring to earlier, which is our modeling document. I am suggesting that we focus just on the work that is happening now with the native alignment to the VC data model, that we include those examples, which is a single achievement by one issuer, an array of achievements by one issuer to the same credential subject, and presentations of these models. However, if we have this, we explore this use case, we should get it in here too, because it is very relative, because we know that there is IMS Global CLR is trying to do native alignment to the VC data model. So just as Heather was saying, with the main CCG group, I think we should, you know, be flexible in this group too, to get as much as we can, but also get this report out, because others are going to be looking at this report to move forward. So we don't want to hold it up for things that we get stuck on. We've got to try and be careful and coordinate as we go. Okay, I'm going to move forward because we only have 5 minutes later, and we'll continue this conversation next week. This is some thoughts that I have that we can talk about next week on new work items, that these would be member-initiated and led. Because, you know, up till now, really, all the VC work items have been led by the co-chairs of the task force, But work items can be submitted and led by members of the task force as long as they're like use case focused and they're willing to report back to the VC EDGU. There's a lot of work to be done in this space. And those use cases that I just had listed on slide 11, like barely scratch the surface. So if there's something that your organization needs and would like to work on, it'd be great if you take a work item and do that because the co-chairs won't be able to lead everything all of the time. Oh, I added myself to the queue. I did not mean to do that. Sorry. you can tell I'm terrible at the IRC commands. Maybe someday I will get better at it. Okay. Don't put that in the notes, too. Second to last slide. So this is all taken from the charter, but I reworded it a little bit. I wasn't exactly sure what was meant by here. But first, we aim to be the definitive standard for VC EDGU, right? So we hope that other standards will look to us to say, okay, this is how we do education standards with verifiable credentials. I grade this out because honestly, I don't know how we're already disrupting everything. So I don't know why this is here, or what is meant by it exactly. So if anybody has any thoughts, let me know. Otherwise, I would consider just taking that out. We made this very generic here. It's more specific in the charter. Just said we aim to support, semantic interoperability, right? So we would like to do that. We'd like to help see that happen as much as possible. And then, this came from the charter that we aim to use existing vocabularies from these standards if and when they are suitable for purpose. And so it's CTDL, schema.org, open badges, CLR, and possibly IMS Global is working on this common data model. So maybe that in the future we could add to this list. These are just examples. And then Nate has a question. So I'm going to read this question. Does a task force of a community group have the authority to use the word standard? I would say no. I'm not. Heather, do we have, can we do that?
Oh, God, these are such great. That's great. I don't think so. I mean, the standards come out of a working group through a very specific W3C process that we do not follow in community group. And that the task force doesn't follow in a community group. So I would say no.
That's what I thought too. We would bring it to the CCG and discuss with the wider community at that stage.
Now, I mean, if you wanted to do something, if you wanted something to go standards track, something could happen pre-standards here and you can see what happened with the VC group and the DID working group. But that's a whole longer conversation and a serious commitment of time and resources.
Thank you. We're going to end here. So just real briefly, I just want to put up these next steps, which is I'm going to come back next week with an edit of the charter. I can send that around on the mailing list, and we can talk about adding, revisiting and adding proposals for those two reports, come up with a work plan, and then any new work items. So feel free to reach out to me directly if you'd like. My email address, I will put it in the chat right now for you if you want to reach me. And we'll meet up again next week and move forward with this.
I guess I just want to say one more thing too. If anyone on this call is interested in learning more about how this works, I really recommend you just jump in and start doing it. It's the best way to figure it out. And I'm sure that Carrie can use a little bit of help. So, and also if you're interested in the main CCG stuff too, but like, don't be intimidated by like all this process and all these options. You really learn it by doing it. So I really encourage you, if you are interested, to just really jump in the water.
Thank you, Heather. Thanks for joining us today and filling in our knowledge gaps. Yes. And thanks, Jim, for scribing, and all of you for being here. Hope you have a great week.